You're listening to BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station.
Breakout Radio Church, now having church services daily at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Central Time. Now here is Pastor Deo Gentry.
Okay, Godfrey Bertel says this is the year of the breakout. Welcome to Breakout Radio Church. Good to have you joining us here on our second anniversary. And Gene Gentry is with me here today. For those of you on BPNRadio.com, and well, it's a wonderful day, isn't it?
It is. It's going to be a great day today.
Can you believe 2 years ago today we started Breakout Radio Church?
Wow. It's really gone by fast.
It has, and I've never heard of a breakout radio church. I've looked, I can't find anybody that's doing it. I'm sure there's somebody is, but I just can't find anybody that's doing it, so we can have some references.
But so we're doing it.
We're doing it. We're pioneering, and I love pioneering. It's not the first time we pioneered.
No, we've pioneered many times.
A lot of people say, "Well, what does breakout mean?" Well, after leading prayer at the White House in 1996. The Holy Spirit spoke to me from Micah 2:13, the one who breaks open will come up before them. They will break out, pass through the gate, go out by it. The king will pass before them with the Lord at their head. So I guess we were breakout when breakout wasn't cool.
I think so.
So we're not actually plagiarizing. So it's good to have, everybody joining us today. Welcome all of you. Breakout Radio Church members, it's a wonderful day, and I guess I can take my headphones off. Well, maybe not. We're going to have some praise and worship. Then I will. So it's so good to have Ian and Allison Kieber with us. They've been working with us for a long time here at Breakout Radio Church. We appreciate them.
They're a blessing to us.
They are a blessing.
Yes, they
absolutely
are.
Absolutely. We are a team working together. I just want to remind all of you members that I prayed for you. I called every one of your names. We have members in 40 different states and nations, and I've called all of your names today. Every last one of you, I called your names. And if you'd like to be a member of Breakout Radio Church, it's pretty simple. All you have to do is go to bpnradio.com, and then you click on Breakout Radio Church, and there's the membership link that you can fill out and submit to us. And we're so delighted. If you're visiting Breakout Radio Church, we just want to say thank you. Thank you very, very much. And Gene, here we are. You know, we love to. We love celebrations.
Yes, we do.
We don't want any special event to go by that we don't celebrate.
No, we love to celebrate.
We love to celebrate. You know, we have celebrated our marriage for 57 times.
57 times.
And one of the highlights of being able to go out for an anniversary meal is that you bring along a list of every place that we have celebrated anniversary, all 57 of them.
We have kept a list of every anniversary. We have it written down, and so we go over that every anniversary. And
Yeah. So making history and making memories.
Making memories. That's
very,
right.
Very important. And later on this month, we celebrate 52 years of preaching the gospel. And we don't want to let those dates go by. So it's very, very important. We found in the Bible that, people celebrated certain dates. And I certainly want to do that. Well, we're all going to pray together. And Gene and I and Ian Allison Kieber, we're going to join our hearts together. Ian Kieber is going to give you an opportunity to give today, our second anniversary tithes and offerings, and then God's given me a special word. Allison Kieber is going to be praying today. It's just going to be a wonderful day.
Yes, it is.
So Father Gene and I and Ian Allison, we set ourselves together in agreement today here at Breakout Radio Church. 2 years ago today, we started Breakout Radio Church, and we submitted it to the IRS, and they approved us as they recognize us as a church, and so here we are. And we're so very, very thankful for the opportunity to be able to minister every Sunday morning at Breakout Radio Church.
Yes.
We just invite your presence, Holy Ghost, whatever mm-hmm. you want to do today. We say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done mm-hmm. on earth as it is in heaven. Mm-hmm. The will of God be done here today.
Yes.
And all that we do or say, may you, Lord Jesus, may you be high and lifted up.
Yes.
May you fill this ministry center here in Austin, Texas, mm-hmm. as we broadcast live from our ministry center here in Jesus' name. Lord, we're grateful. Hallelujah. We bless your name and honor your name. Magnify your name, O God. So grateful, so thankful. Hallelujah. We praise you and worship you and magnify you. Come magnify the Lord with me, church. Let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We honor you today, God. We glorify your name. We worship you. We praise you today. You're a good God, awesome God. Hallelujah. 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 We love you today. So thankful, so grateful, so honored, so honored, so honored, so honored to know that you are with us, Lord, that you are leading and guiding and directing our lives. Hallelujah.
Yes,
and we
Jesus.
Bless your name today.
Yes.
And honor your name today. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. 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 We bless you, church. We pray the will of God be done, not only in this service today, but we pray the will of God be done in your life today. Whatever is happening, whatever you're going through, whatever is taking place, we pray the will, plan, and purpose of God be done in your life today. We pray that God will bless you when you go in, when you come out, when you rise up, when you lie down. Whether you're in the city or the country, wherever you are, your job, your business, your marriage, your family, we bless you now. Your finances, the call of God upon your life, we bless you now. We ask God to bless you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We pray for every need that's represented here at Breakout Radio Church today. I want us to pray for a member of our church, Anita Rogers, the wife of Pastor Dave Rogers in Kerrville, Texas. And Gene and I went several weeks ago to visit Anita. Actually, we ministered at their church. And, you know, it's been weeks, many weeks now, that Anita Rogers, a credible woman of God, has not been able to eat or drink or talk or sing. She's a singer. She can't eat, drink, talk, or sing. You know, things that we take for granted.
That's right.
Gene.
That's right.
Ian Allison. I talked to Pastor Dave Rogers. Leads a wonderful church there in the Kerrville, Texas area, Church of the Hills. And, you know, Anita is going back to the doctor, going to Houston on Tuesday, but she needs a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine not being able to eat or drink or talk or sing for weeks on weeks, just being fed through a tube in her stomach because her esophagus was damaged by chemo and radiation. Let's pray for Anita right now. Father, we just reach out to Anita Rogers today in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father God, that you are a miracle-working God. And we ask, God, that you heal one of our church members, Anita Rogers, her and her husband pastoring a church with this physical challenge. We ask God for a miracle because medical science does not really know what to do. But Lord, you are our healer.
Yes.
You are healing Jesus. And we call on you right now. We set ourselves in agreement with other members of our church, Breakout Radio Church.
Yes.
And we ask, oh God, for you to heal Anita in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're healing Tammy and Matthew Logan, our Two of our church members, his two grandsons, were hit by a car, 12 and 8 years old, going. The car was going over 50 miles an hour. Both of these boys lived, and they're now recovering. They are recovering at Children's Hospital in Birmingham, Alabama. We thank you, God. Thank you, God. We praise you for your miracle-working power. We're so grateful today. And whatever needs are represented here at Breakout Radio Church today, Lord, I pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, Ian Kieber's going to come and receive our morning tithes and contributions, give you an opportunity to give. And my spiritual son's coming, and then I'm going to preach.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Papa Dale. Thank you. What a blessing it is to be here today on the second anniversary, answering the call to go into all nations and spread the gospel, but doing it through radio. What a blessing that is. And, you know, I just hearing Papa Dale, obviously praying for the church members today, I was reflecting upon last night, just laying in bed, when God was telling me to be grateful for so many things that I have in my life. And oftentimes, as we walk through our days and our lives, that we can find ourselves taking for granted those little things. Last night, it was the sheets that I was laying on in bed, the ability to lay in a soft bed underneath a roof, right? So many things that we take for granted in our lives. And we know that here at Breakout Radio Church, our members all take everything very seriously and are grateful for all of it. And we just want you to know that we're grateful for you, for your members, for those of you that are a part of Breakout Radio Church, for sharing, for helping us spread the word and helping us grow this ministry. And we want to give you an opportunity now to give your tithes and offerings today. And you can do so a couple of different ways. You can do so by heading over to bpnradio.com, where there's a donate button that allows you to give via a PayPal with a debit or a credit card. Or you can make your checks payable to Breakout Ministries, and that's at P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas, 78709. And again, it's we appreciate your tithes and offerings and helping us continue to grow this ministry and for being a part of Breakout Radio Church. And I just want to pray for you all. Father God, thank you so much again for this ministry. Thank you for all of our church members that tune in faithfully across the world, Lord, that we are able to come through the speakers and through the internet and through Facebook to just delivering your gospel and reminding people to be grateful for what they have as they seek more in this world, God, as they seek you more. Lord, we just thank you for all of those out there that are giving their tithes and contributions today. We know that you will magnify their giving, that every seed that they sow, they will reap a whirlwind, a harvest that will just bless them and those out there, God. We thank you so much for all that you're doing in Breakout Radio Church, for all of our church members out there, for the healing, for the love, and for the caring for all of us, God. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And again, just want to thank you all for being a part of Breakout Radio Church. And I'm going to let Pastor Dale come on over and deliver his message today. So thank you so much, guys.
Okay. Thank you very, very much, Ian Kieber. Appreciate Ian and Alice working here with us at Breakout Radio Church. Wow, what a wonderful day. Somebody said, well, what do you mean by Breakout Radio Church? Well, we are a church. A global church without walls, comprised of members in many different geographical locations across America and around the globe, responding to Jesus' command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And of course, we're a house of prayer for all nations. So to think now that I can, Gene, I, and Ian Allison could be in our ministry center here, and just in a small ministry center, and be able to speak to people across America and around the world, and people joining us, members in Pakistan and Africa and Costa Rica and Germany, as well as other nations and India. Just to think that we could just stand here in our ministry center and speak to the world. It's mind-boggling. It really is mind-boggling. And so for about 30 years, Regina and I have been in ministry 52 years, but for about 30 years, we traveled from church to church. So we'd go to one church at a time. Now we have the opportunity to minister to people all across America and around the world, especially those that do not have a church or a pastor for one reason or another. We are so delighted. Okay, I want to read today from the book of Hebrews. I'm going to preach a while, then we're going to pray a while. Allison will come and lead us in prayer. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, I spent most of the day yesterday just getting ready to preach today. It's more than a 10-minute preparation. So I spent most of the day just preparing. It takes a lot of preparation. And as I was preparing, I was just saying, what is my favorite chapter in the Bible? I mean, there's a lot of different chapters in this Bible. I was saying, what is my favorite chapter in the Bible? I just had to go back to Hebrews chapter 11. So I'm going to read some in Hebrews, my favorite chapter in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11. It says, now faith. Now the first two words is now faith. Faith is something that is activated at the moment that you need it. Now faith is the substance. I remember one time I was ministering in Canada, and those are the only two words I spoke. I just got up and I started reading now faith, and suddenly the Holy Spirit just interrupted the whole service, and it was like revelation filled the whole congregation. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel. And then on verse 5 it says, by faith Enoch. Then it says in verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Then it says, by faith Noah. Then it gets down to verse 8, by faith Abraham. And I was thinking, well, this is my favorite chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. Then who is my favorite faith person in the Bible? I'm not including Jesus. Jesus, of course, is my very favorite. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But my very favorite person in the Bible is Abraham. The Bible says in verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive for an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So Abraham, for several reasons, my very favorite person. First of all, Abraham was my favorite person in the Bible because he was a man of prayer. The Bible says, traveling, this is from the book of Genesis, and I'm reading from the Living Bible now, traveling through Canaan, they came to a place near Shechem and set up camp beside the oak at Morah. Then Jehovah appeared to Abram and said, I'm going to give this land to your descendants. And Abram built an altar. What did he do? First of all, the first thing he did was build an altar there to commemorate Jehovah's visit. Afterwards, Abraham left that place and traveled southward to the hilly country between Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he made camp and made an altar. What did he do? He made an altar to the Lord, and he prayed to him, to the Lord. Thus he continued slowly southward to the Negev, pausing frequently. What did he pause frequently? What was he doing when he paused frequently? I believe that he was pausing frequently to pray. And so Abraham was a man of prayer. And I, 52 years ago, I responded to the call to pray, which I believe is the highest call in all the world. People says, well, I want to know what the will of God is. I want to do the will of God. What would God have me to do concerning this situation? Who would he have me to marry? What profession would he have me to have? What job? And all of these questions. But everything starts with prayer. So I have to say that for a while I did it on my own. I determined what I wanted to be in life. I determined what I was going to do in life. And then I would pray. I would pray. Gene and I would pray at meals, and I would pray frequently when one of my family members was sick or before we went to bed. But I was not a man of prayer. But God spoke to me. The Holy Ghost spoke to me, and most of you have heard my story by now. But if we have a story, we just keep telling the story, right? That's what Paul did. He said, you know, I was on the road to Damascus, and several times he would tell that story. Here's what happened. There was a great light shone down. I was on my donkey, my horse. I fell off my horse, and the Lord, this voice spoke to me. So I just keep telling the story. God spoke to me one morning on my way to work and said, son, because I was saying, God, what can you do for me? I'm really unfulfilled, even though I've got a lot of things happening, but I wasn't finding my purpose in life. Every one of us have a purpose. There's a sweet spot in our life that if we don't find that, anything we do, anything that we accomplish, anything we have in life will never be fulfilling because we've not found that sweet spot in our life, and that is the purpose of our living. We could have been born any time in history past, any time in history future, but here we are in 2018 alive. Why are we here? Are we here just to retire? Are we here just to make a living? Are we here just to make it till Friday? Are we here just to pay our bills? Are we here just to work 50 weeks out of the year, so we can take a 2-week vacation? Why are we here? We are here to do the will, plan, and purpose of God. The purpose of God. So we have to find that purpose of why we exist, why we're alive. And so, you know, I was doing well financially, and Gene and I were off to a good start, but there was something missing, the real purpose in my life, the primary call in my life, but I did not find it until I began to pray. And so the Lord said to me, son, if you give me the first hour of your day, I'll change your life. It was a challenge. You know, on bpnradio.com, every morning I lead prayer at 5, 6, 7, and 9. And why do I do that? Because if people will pray with me, they will learn how to pray. They will be a prayer, because I believe that prayer is more caught than taught. And so I would listen. I begin to listen to other men pray, and I begin to catch that spirit of prayer. Because prayer has three different levels. We have the desire level, then there is the discipline level, then there is the delight level. So I had to discipline myself to pray. But I began to get up every morning at 2 o'clock because I had to be at work at 3:30 in the morning, and I began to give God the first hour of my day. It revolutionized my life because I began to hear the voice of God. So there's two major reasons I pray. I pray to know God, and I pray to know what He wants me to do. I pray to know God, and I pray to know what He wants me to do, because there's so many variables in life. There's so many options of so many things. And life has got to be more than an opportunity. It's got to be a passion. It's got to be more than an opportunity. You say, well, I've got this opportunity. But is that your passion? Is that what God has spoken to you about? And so Abraham, when he began to pray, God began to speak to him. So the highest call in all the world is to pray. And so God spoke to Abraham. He began to pray. Second of all, Abraham is my favorite Bible person because he was willing to leave his family and his friends and go to a place that he was not sure where he was going, but he went there by faith. Ian and Allison are here with us today. God spoke to them to move to Austin, Texas. They did not know anybody in Austin. They lived in Seattle, Washington, but they were willing to leave their family, their friends, their familiar surroundings, their home, whatever, and move to a place where they did not know anybody. They did not know anyone, but they were willing because they heard the voice of God. One time, David Younghee Cho, who pastors the largest church in the world, came to the church where I was a part of at Church on the Rock in Rockwall, Texas. And the leaders there were asking him some questions. He had over 700,000 members in Seoul, South Korea. And they said to him, Dr. Cho, how did you get where you're at today? And he chuckled and said, I pray and I obey. Ha, ha, ha. I pray and I obey. Ha, ha, ha. You say, is it that simple? You pray and then you obey. Because when you pray, you begin to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Then you begin to see the voice. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, John turned to see the voice. We hear the voice, we see the voice, and we say whatever the voice is saying about us, and then we begin to do it. So Abraham was willing to do it. There's some people that say, well, God, I'm willing to do your will, but they never get around to doing it. So the Bible said that God told Abraham, leave your own country behind you. I'm reading from the Living Bible. And your own people, and go to the land I will guide you to. If you do, I will cause you to become the father of a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name famous, and you will be a blessing to many others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, and the entire world will be blessed because of you. I am blessed because of Abraham. And I believe that every one of us have the opportunity to be blessed by other people and to be a blessing to other people because of our obedience. When I was a little boy, I saw my dad, when I was a small boy, leave our home in one part of Oklahoma and move to Comanche, Oklahoma, where we did not know anybody. He left his job. He left everything, and we moved to Comanche. And I remembered watching my dad, how he faithfully started the church in his home. We were a house church. And then eventually he purchased some property, and he put up what was called, what we know now as a brush, know then as a brush arbor. Just put up some poles and put some tree limbs over it, and put some sawdust on the floor. And we would have church every night of that summer in Comanche, Oklahoma, when I was a small boy. And then he raised the money to build a cement block building. So I watched him. And when God spoke to me about Gene and I about going into full-time ministry, I had an example. I had somebody that actually did it. We've got to know, we've got to be in a relationship, church, with some people that are actually doing it. There's a lot of people talk about doing it, but actually doing it is another thing. The Lord spoke to my friend Noel Richards in London after God spoke to him that he was going to lead prayer at Wembley Stadium. He said, God, when am I going to get to do it? And the Lord spoke to Noel and said, Noel, you'll do it when you do it. And so we've got to have some people around us that we have seen actually do it. We know it can be done because somebody did it. Abraham did it. And I saw my dad do it. And I said, well, if my dad can do it, then I can do it also. The Bible said here in the book of Genesis, Abraham trusted God. And when God told him to leave home and go far away to another land that he promised to give him, Abraham obeyed. How difficult that must have been. I mean, Abraham was not that young of a guy. He was 75 years old when he left his family and left his homeland. Sarah was 65. Now, making a move, maybe when you're 25, 30 years old, 35, that may sound a little bit reasonable. But when you're going to leave everything and everybody, all of your surroundings, when you're 75 years old and your wife is 65, wow, that takes a step of faith. But the Bible said, as I read, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, or those who act upon faith. Hearing something, seeing something, saying something, and then actually doing something. We do something. And so we know faith definitely is a verb. It's an action word. And so he was a man, Abraham was a man willing to leave his home, his residence, his place of comfort, his familiar surroundings, his company, his job, whatever he had. And don't forget, Sarah had to be willing to go with him. I'll never forget the night that I was called to preach in 1966. Jean didn't marry a preacher. She married a guy that was in radio, and I'd gone to school to be an engineer. And we'd given ourselves. She had sacrificed. I'd gone off to school in Dallas because we didn't have enough money for the two of us, and I would come home every few weeks. She sacrificed for me to be in radio and to be an engineer. And now I'm changing course, and I'm saying, Gene, I feel like we're going to leave it all, and I'm going to go preach the gospel. But without any hesitation, she said, "Dale, I'll go where you go, and I'll do what you do." And for 52 years, she's kept her promise. What a wonderful wife I have, Mrs. America. I love her so much. And so Sarah had to go. Sarah kind of said, "No, Abe, I'm 65 years old. You're 75, Abe. We're not going to do this. We're not going to leave our family and our home. We're not going to do this." But Sarah said, "Okay, Abraham. Abe, I'll go. Abram, I'll go. And I'll go with you, and we'll do it." And I've said many times, there's nothing that two people agreeing together cannot do. There's something so powerful to say, "We're going to do this." And so Abraham did it, and Sarah did it. They moved, and the other thing, they moved by not knowing exactly where they were going to go. You know, Gene and I, when God called me to preach and he said, "Now's the time to go," Gene and I sold our home, and we took took enough stuff that would fit into a 35-foot trailer. We put it in a little trailer. We hauled it to the trailer that we were going to travel in Comanche, Oklahoma. And our little son, Rick, he left the park behind him with his dog, Tex, and Gene moved out of the home we'd only purchased a year before, and put everything in that little trailer. And we did not know exactly where we were going. I just have to say, we had one revival in Ringling, Oklahoma. That's all we had. And when I complained, it was like the Holy Spirit was saying, "Well, son, how many can you preach at one time? You just can preach one at a time." So Abraham went out not knowing exactly where he was going to go. In fact, they ended up in a foreign country, and it was amazing. It was amazing. You know, obedience is better than sacrifice, and sacrifice is a really big thing. You know, we like to get in our comfort zone. We have everything the way we want it to be, and then suddenly everything is seemingly out of kelter, out of order. Everything's in a whirlwind. And so Gene and I, we did not know where we were going to go. We knew that we had one revival, and after that one revival, there was another revival, and then another revival. Then we pastored a church, and then we did some more. And now 52 years have gone by. Amazing. Amazing. And we have, God told us when we started, you just live with the gospel. I mean, the first church I pastored was only 15 miles from the radio station that I'd left several months earlier. And the general manager said, "Dale, anytime you want to come back, you can come back. You can come back over here and work." And but I knew that I was not supposed to do that. I was to give myself to what God had called me to do. In the first church, Gene and I had like 25, 35 people, and we were living on the tithes and offerings, the contributions. And there was somebody in the church that had a relative that had a grocery store. They wanted me to come and work at the grocery store. That would have helped our income, but I knew that's not what we were supposed to do. So we had to follow our heart, follow what God had called us to do. And Gene and I can say, after 52 years, we have lived with the gospel, always lived with the gospel. And sometimes it's been abundance, and sometimes it's been meager fare, but we have never missed a car payment. We've never missed a house payment. God has always supplied our needs. He has been faithful. And after 52 years, those of you who are wondering, does it really pay to obey God? Can we obey God? Is God at work? I can say in the affirmative, yes and amen. So, Abraham, my favorite person, because he just went out not knowing where he was going to go, what he was going to do, how he was going to make a living, how things were going to happen. But he went out in obedience. And third of all, Abraham was my favorite man because he was willing to fight for the assignment that God had given him. Had to fight for the assignment. You know, Gene and I, we started bpnradio.com almost 4 years ago. And we knew that in order to do this, we had to turn aside from the ministry that was bringing in about 65% of our income. And that was our honorariums at local churches. But we knew that if we were going to have a radio ministry, if I was going to stand behind this microphone and speak to people, to states, nations of the world, that we had to turn aside from what we were doing. So the grace began to lift after 30 years, we knew there was a shift. We knew there was a change. We knew there was a transition. And we knew that God was going to help us work it out. Now, we just didn't say one Sunday, this is it. But we knew the transition was in place. It was in motion. And so we started that, but then we had a lot of financial challenges. We've had a lot. When Gene and I went in full-time ministry in March of 1967, we only got 15 miles when the transmission on our car went out. Trying to pull that big trailer. And so all along, we have had challenges. All along, we have had to do spiritual warfare. So it's not just simple. It's not like, hey, I'm going to do the will of God and everything is going to go smoothly. I'm here to tell you it will not. Satan will challenge you. He will focus on you because he knows that you are moving forward, that you are in motion. And so there will come a war. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, the war, the things that come against you when you begin to do the will of God. And so the Bible said that concerning Lot, who went with Abraham and Sarah, Lot was wealthy, his sheep and cattle, many servants could not support both Abram and Lot with all of their flocks and herds. There were too many animals for the available pasture. So fights broke out. They began to fight between the herdsmen of Abraham and Lot, despite the dangers they all faced from the tribes of the Canaanites and the Perizzites who were present in the land, who were threatening them. So fights broke out. And when Abraham learned, then the Perizzites began to attack Lot. When Abram learned that Lot had been captured, he called together the men born into his household, 318 of them in all, and chased after the retiring army as far as Dan. He divided his men and attacked during the night from several directions and pursued the fleeing army to Hobab, north of Damascus, recovered everything, the loot that had been taken, his relative Lot and all of the Lot's possessions, including the women of the captives. So Abraham knew that if he's going to do the will of God, there had to be some spiritual warfare. We know the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. And sometimes we have to do some spiritual warfare. And Gene and I, there's been times when we just got in our bedroom, our prayer room, and put on our helmet of salvation, our breastplate of righteousness, our belt of truth, our shoes of peace, our shield of faith, our sword of the Spirit, and we begin to fight. Now, if you don't fight, then you just have to retreat. And we declared many years ago, there's options in life, but there's one option that we do not have, and that is retreat. Retreat is not an option. We know how to blow the charge, but we don't know how to blow the retreat. And what will you not retreat from? We will not retreat from our purpose. And what is our primary call? What is our primary purpose in life? To preach the gospel. God called me to preach. David Wilkerson, the prophet from New York City, came to our church on a summer night in June in 1966, and God called me to preach. Now, first of all, he called me to pray, but that was the precursor. Every one of us have a call to pray. We don't have to pray about that. But then there has to be a purpose, a primary purpose in life. And so over the years, I've also been a prophetic voice, a prophet. I've been a pastor. I've been a teacher. I've been an evangelist. I've been a speaker. I've been a host. But it all goes back to my primary purpose in life. We need to know the thing that makes us tick, the thing we are primarily anointed to do. What am I called to do? What is my primary purpose in life? And so Abraham knew his primary purpose in life, and he went for it. And I discovered in 1966 when the Holy Spirit said to me, son, I want you to preach my gospel. Will you preach my gospel? And I said, yes. And so I am a preacher. I'm a man that prays. That's what I want to put on my tombstone one day, the man who prayed. But After I prayed, I heard the voice of God say, I want you to preach my gospel. So I am a preacher. I trust that I will never turn back in that call. I will never turn back. No such thing as retirement. And so I will listen to his voice, and by faith, I will preach the gospel. And so my trust is in God. My confidence is in God. And so Abraham Abraham knew his call. He knew his call, and he pursued his call. He fought for the land. He went out not knowing where he was going. Because and the other reason why that I love Abraham, that he was my favorite preacher, is because he did not quit. He persisted. And even though he had a promise that one day he was going to have a child, he did not give up. And finally, when he was 100 years old and his wife Sarah was 90, God announced, "You are going to have a son." Can you imagine Abraham going to his wife and say, "Sarah, I got to talk to you about something." "Yeah, what is it, Abe?" We're going to have a baby." "What? Abe, you are 100 years old. No, we're going to have a baby. We got to sleep together every night. We're going to have a baby." Oh, my God. What faith that took. Can you imagine? 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman. But because of their faith, God showed up strong and gave them a son, Isaac. And can you imagine, after Isaac was born, Abraham lived another 75 years. The Bible said he lived until he was 175. And Sarah, she lived another 40 years, 45 years. She died when she was 135. So they got to not only enjoy the life together, they got to enjoy their son, children, grandchildren, and they fulfill their call, their purpose in life. And so we have to realize that God has a purpose, and we need to persist. We need to be faithful in what God has called us to do. We do not need to retreat. We do not need to turn back. We need to finish. We need to start and don't stop, because there's something in life about momentum. Keep the momentum going. And Gene and I learned over the years that we started in ministry. We didn't turn aside and say, "Well, we're going to take some time here. We'll do this and that." We just kept going because we heard the voice of the Lord, and we found the momentum. And I like what it says in the book of Hebrews concerning Abraham and all of these others in God's faith. God's Hall of Faith. God's Hall of Faith. It said these people all trusted God. They all trusted God. And as a result, won battles, overthrew kingdoms, ruled their people well, received what God had promised them. They were kept from harm in a den of lions and in a fiery furnace. Some through their faith escaped death by the sword. Some were made strong again after they had been weak or sick. Others were given great power in battle. They made whole armies turn and run away. Some women, through faith, received their loved ones back again from death. But others trusted God and were beaten to death. They had all kinds of trials and difficulties and sorrows. But they all were faithful to the call. And by faith, they finished their course. So what is faith? Faith is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. Men of God in days of old were famous for what? They were famous for their faith. They're famous for their faith, trusting in God, believing that God was going to take care of them and be with them, and trusting in God put them in the faith of fame, the Hall of Faith. And today, I just want you to know that God has a wonderful plan for your life. And he wants you to finish strong. He said in conclusion of Hebrews 11, I'm going to close with this. He said, "How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and all the other prophets. Some were laughed at, their backs cut open with whips. Others were chained in dungeons. Some died by stoning, and some by being sawed in two. Others were promised freedom if they would renounce their faith, then were killed with a sword. Some went about in skins of sheep and goats, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in dens and caves. They were hungry and sick and ill-treated, too good for this world. And these men of faith, of course, women of faith also, though they trusted God and won His approval, none of them received all that God had promised them. For God wanted them to wait and share the even better rewards that were prepared for us. So, the faith was not an Old Testament word. It was faithful. And so what the true meaning of faith is being faithful, what God has called us to do, that we will be faithful to do what He has called us to do. And we will finish, regardless. Some of us may have to give our lives. We may die sickly. We may die in ill health. We may die in prison. I don't know. But we will finish. By faith, we will finish so that we can hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servants." And so other people can look at our faith and say, "They did it, so we will do it." And so here we are at the second anniversary of Breakout Radio Church, and we are celebrating the goodness of God. Gene and I started this ministry by faith, even though we had never heard of a radio church. People are saying, "What are you doing? What? How is this?" I don't know. I just know that we started, we opened the microphone, and now for 2 years, every Sunday, we've been having church at Breakout Radio Church. And I declare that God is at work in your life. There's a primary call. There's a primary purpose. Allison is going to come and pray for you right now concerning the will, plan, and purpose of God as we celebrate His goodness and His mercy toward us. Okay, God bless you, Allison, as you pray.
Such a good message, and I think such a timely message, too, of course, of what we're seeing happen around us in the world. And I just, God's just laid it on my heart this morning to pray for those of you who you're just succumb with frustration, and just know that if you're frustrated, it's because God's got more for you, right? And that it's okay to be frustrated as long as you're moving forward, knowing that you're frustrated because you know that there is more for you and that you're moving forward in that. And I just, God dropped this in my spirit the other day as I was reading in John, and many of us have played the game when we're younger, called Follow the Leader. And many of us know that Follow the Leader is a game where one person gets to be the leader and the rest of us pretty much have to do exactly what they say that we have to do. And it's a hard game for some of us to play because we want to be the leader. We want to be the one who's telling people what to do. We don't want to take commands from other people. And I was in this message and thinking about this and thinking, but that it's natural for our flesh to want to fight against following the leader, but yet we have a leader. We have Holy Spirit is our leader, and we have to follow Him. He's our leader. He's our partner to be there with us. And I just want to pray for those of you who right now you're in a place where maybe you're struggling to follow His lead. Maybe you're struggling trying to find what is your purpose? What is your calling? Why are you here? I think of those, those famous people this week who took their lives, and so many people are commenting, but they had so much. They had so much fame and so much money, and so many people who revered them. And I just hear God using this as a reminder that none of that is His purpose for us. That is not His call for us. That His call for us is to love others, right? To love others well. And as Pastor Dale said, is to to preach the gospel, to go out and spread, right? That every single person hear his truth. And that, you know, some of us are going to do that and we're going to be able to have, you know, fame wrapped around it. And it's going to be, but it's always about his name in lights, right? It's his name that's in lights, and that what our purpose is that we do it, that we do it for him and to glorify him and to magnify him. And I just want to pray for those of you right now. I just want to reach out and I want to bless those of you, who are frustrated, who are struggling right now. I just pray that, that you come into a deeper conversation, a deeper connection with the Lord, your God, that today, not later, but today, God, that you reveal to them what it is that you have called them to do for such a time as this. I think of Esther 4:14, right? that maybe today, for such a time as this, that you were called, right? And we know that if we really think about that, right? If we really pray into that, that we are not here by accident. We are not standing in the city, in the state, in the county, in the home, around the people that we are with on accident. That God has called us for a purpose. And that remembering that ultimately, when my time has come, that the legacy that I leave, the greatest legacy I believe that I can leave and my children, is how well I loved and respected their father. And that the greatest legacy that Ian can leave and our children is how well he loved and respected their mother. But ultimately, each and every one of us have a greater purpose than just legacy that we leave alone, but the legacy that we also leave in others of loving God. And that your purpose be revealed to you, that it doesn't, I'm believing that some of us are trying to overcomplicate it, that God has already put that and dropped us in our spirit. And some of us are going, well, that seems too easy, too simple. And I just hear God saying right now that it doesn't have to be complicated. Stop overcomplicating it. Walk it out in faith, believing in the promises that I have shared and sown into your heart, understanding that they are specific to you, but they only come to fruition not because he can't just make it happen, because he can, but he wants our obedience and he needs us to walk out an action, right? The action behind the dream, the action behind what he has sown into our heart for such a time as this. You know, no matter what circumstances you're facing right now, no matter what you're struggling with, that God does have a plan, and that we have to trust in that plan. We have to believe in God's promises for us. Church, can we all step out in that kind of faith? The faith that Abraham and Sarah had? You know, I was, as Pastor Dale was preaching this word, I remembered a story of friends of ours. Our friend Cheryl, who had prayed, she said from the day she was 21 years old, that God would give her a child someday. Every single day. And at 49 years old, and her husband, who was 54, who had just battled through prostate cancer, who the doctor said, you will no longer ever be able to have children, and actually you may never be able to be with your wife again on an intimate level. They gave him that diagnosis, and 6 months later, God gave them a son. Are we willing to look at stories of God's miracles and what he has done and say, you know what, if God can work a miracle there, then he can work a miracle in my life. And I'm going to continue to believe. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to be a strong finisher. Now, I don't know what your vision is or what the dream that God has put inside of you, but what I do know is that each and every one of us carry a gift. And a gift is something we give, right? When we give someone a gift, we don't think about what we'll receive in return, right? It's not a, we joyfully give, right? Because, and we have with open hands, and we don't worry about how they receive it. We don't say, oh, they didn't receive it in this particular way. We don't put an expectation on that. When we truly give, we give with an open hands, with open hearts, because we just want to give. Well, every single one of us has a gift. It's our story. It's our testimony. It's our journey. And no matter what you are facing, no matter what struggles, no matter what your circumstances are right now, you still have a gift. That you have the power. And I think of Anita, who right now she doesn't have her song that God had given to her at one time, her voice that God had given to her at one time, the ability to even eat that God had given her that at one time, but she is still here and she still has something to give. There is a reason that she is still here, because if she was not, it would be finished. But she is still here and she still has that gift to give, the power of her testimony, the power of believing that God can work miracles. And that God does work miracles. They may not be how we see them in the flesh, but we have the faith to believe that not that he can, but that he will for his plan and purpose. And I just bless you right now. I bless each and every one of you who are asking God to reveal your purpose, that he sow into your heart that you have a gift, that he put love in your heart, love that you can share with others. It doesn't cost anything to love someone. It doesn't cost anything to be kind to someone. It doesn't cost anything to reach out and to love them. It doesn't cost anything to share your story. And I bless you. I bless that today revelation come upon you, that you are covered in his blood, and that you are shown his grace and his mercy, and that the situation, the circumstances that you are facing, that you are under, that it be revealed to you the joy, the gratefulness, remembering that seeds of offense cannot be sown into a grateful heart. Be grateful today for what he is doing, just as I'm sure Anita is grateful, because she's a woman of God and she's a woman of faith. And somewhere in these trials and tribulations, she has a heart of gratitude. May we take from her, someone who is probably suffering far more than we are right now. May we take note from her, of her faith, of her gratefulness, of her belief. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
In Jesus'
Amen.
name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so very, very much, Allison, and it's been great having you at Breakout Radio Church. One of the things we want to do, for those of you that don't know the Lord, we want to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus. And the Bible said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can just say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you arose on the third day. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior, and with your strength and help, I'll live for you and serve you all the days of my life. Thank you, Jesus. If you'd like to be a member of Breakout Radio Church, go to bpnradio.com, click on Breakout Radio Church. There's a membership link. It's been a great day, hasn't it, Gene? Celebrating our second anniversary at Breakout Radio Church. And we want to say thank you for joining us. Thank you for giving. Ian Allison, thank you. And we're just going to bless everybody as we go out. Father, we just reach out to all of our members at Breakout Radio Church and those of you that may be visiting Breakout Radio Church today. Thank you, God, for these past 2 years as we start into year number 3 at Breakout Radio Church, doing your will in Jesus' name. Y'all have a wonderful day. God bless you.
Have a blessed day. We love you.
Yes, we do.